welcome the man of the hour, the man of the day. We have finally linked. By the way, Sean MacArthur, thanks to your cousin Jane, who said, "I'll get him for you," and she did too. Sean MacArthur, skipper of the New York to Derry, Londonderry. Let me welcome you to Irish Radio Network. How are you there, Sean?
Good morning. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm well, thanks.
Good, good. Only a few days in New York, but a very, very exciting days. And indeed, Anya Sheridan, producer here, tells me that one of the best events, nicest events, in New York City recently was the welcoming event at the New York City Yacht Club. And she and many others say that she did a great job in explaining to those of us who'd like to know about the Clipper vessels and the round the world yacht race. Maybe you can start by telling us first of all about where it started, because actually you're ready to leave to head off for Ireland and for the Foyle. So, Sean, fill us in if you will.
The Clipper Round the World race, it was founded by Sir Robin Knox Johnson, who was the first man to ever sail non-stop around the world single-handedly. He did that back in 1969. He basically put together he came up with a concept of a paid race for amateurs around the world. So I founded the company Clipper Ventures, which owns the 12 boats, and each boat has a professional skipper on board, and then up to about 20 crew on each boat. And it's a way for people to, for different reasons, you know, maybe a change in career, or maybe some of the guys have retired and want a challenge, or all sorts of reasons. But I think one lady even came on it looking for a husband. But people join up for different reasons, and they pay their money. Clipper, the company, train them up. There's three compulsory levels of training, and with lots of safety, and basically get fully prepared. And then off you go on the round-the-world race, pretty much. And there's the option to do either the whole trip around around the world, or you can just choose a leg if you fancy the leg, say
right.
An Australian leg or a transatlantic leg.
Yeah.
You can kind of mix and match how you like it.
When you're how much time, and if you're thinking of doing this trip around the world by yacht, how much time would you have to put aside, Sean?
Most people take, the race itself lasts for 10 months, and as I said, there's 3 weeks of training that you have to complete before that commences. But you maybe set aside a year for it.
Right. And now to... So how many stops along the way, do you have over the 10-month period, or can you keep track of them?
It's such a blur because the stops are quite short and hectic, you know. But there are about, I think, 15 or 16 stops. We started in London on the 1st of September last year. Our first stop was in France, only a short hop across the channel. Then Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, Cape Town, then Western Australia. We went down to Hobart for the Sydney Hobart race, back up to Brisbane, Singapore. We had a pit stop in Hong Kong, made it up to China, then San Francisco, Panama, and now New York. So our next stop will be the big one for us, our homecoming to Derry, Londonderry. And then... after that, it's just Holland and back to the finish in London.
Now, you're Donegal man, but you are actually based in Mallorca. Is that a particularly well-known place for yachtsmanship?
Yeah, very much so. It'd probably be one of the sort of capitals almost of yachting in Europe. It's very central in the Mediterranean, obviously, and the boatyards and the marinas there are great facilities. But yeah, it's also a lovely place to live.
Sean MacArthur, skipper, let me ask you about the unforeseen. As we know, if we're getting on a plane, we have some kind of advance warning. We know exactly about what turbulence is going to be about. Now, when you're on a yacht and you're going around the world, obviously things change and change very rapidly. How prepared do you and indeed the other skippers in your fleet, how prepared do you have to be, and are there surprises along the way?
To some extent we're pretty well prepared. We've got a meteorologist who sends all the boats the same weather each day, but as we know, weather forecasting isn't an exact science.
Right.
There's only one time offhand that we were sort of surprised, if you like, by the weather, and that was in the Southern Ocean between South Africa and Australia. There was a low pressure, a big storm ahead of us, which was fine, and it was moving away from us. But very quickly, a secondary low pressure system developed off its trailing front, and that definitely took us by surprise and gave us one of the biggest sort of storms of the trip so far.
Yeah.
But I mean, sort of for 98% of the time, the forecasts have all been very accurate. It's very easy to plan. You know, the boats are made very well. They're strong as houses. So there's never any worry there. It's just you go through wind or sea conditions in them as long as you have the right amount of sail up.
Do you have to change course depending again on the weather and the weather forecast?
Yeah, definitely. That same ocean crossing in the Southern Ocean, we actually diverted from our route and sailed, I think, 50 or 60 miles further north to avoid the worst of another storm. So definitely, sometimes you put seamanship in front of the race and you divert to make sure you're not putting the crew or the boat at risk. But usually it's not very common that you have to do that.
Right. What about emergencies on board? Each yacht has roughly 20 people on board. Have you had occasions where one of the crew developed an illness, and how is that taken care of?
Yeah, well, technically I'm the medic on board. I'm trained in advanced first aid, but that's about as far as it goes. Luckily, the way they divide out the crews in the very beginning, they make sure that if there are doctors or nurses, that each boat gets one or two of those sort of qualified medical practitioners. So we're really lucky. We've got a paramedic from London on board, and she's brilliant. She handles all the medical issues, and we have had some everything from, I think we had a broken arm in the beginning. It was actually her arm that got broken, which is a bit worrying for me because that meant that I was sort of the medic. But she's a real Trojan, and she pretty much treated herself for that. But we also had to divert. After being knocked down by a large wave in the Southern Ocean, we had to divert and drop our medevac crew member off in Port Elizabeth, which was unplanned. We suspected she had broken her arm quite badly, but luckily it turned out not to be so serious. We've had all sorts of... we had a man overboard incident in the North Pacific, when we recovered the crew member back on board, he was severely hypothermic.
That was probably one of the most startling news stories that actually went around the world. So tell us, he went overboard, and what was the procedure to get him back on?
Well, usually the guys are always clipped on to the boat. He's got a safety line, and he just, for one reason or another, he forgot to attach it, or he thought it was clipped on, but it wasn't. So usually the procedure is you slow the boat down, and a couple of you grab him and pull him back in over the guardrails. But unfortunately, Andrew wasn't clipped on, so the procedure then is to stop the boat, to mark the position, get the sails down and the engine turned on and motor back, and then you send somebody over the side who acts as a kind of rescue swimmer, and they're still attached to a halyard or a rope that we then clip onto the casualty and winch both back on board. But
wow.
The problem here was the sea was so rough and the conditions were so bad that we lost sight of him very quickly. And then we had, unfortunately, to spend quite a long time searching for him.
Wow.
He was very lucky. We were very lucky. We got him, and it was a happy ending, but it could very easily have went the other way.
We are getting a lot of questions from our listeners. One, for instance, how many yachts are in the race? And is it really a race, or is it more of an endurance test?
It's there are 12 identical yachts, so all the exact same. So a very equally matched fleet. There's nothing else like this in the world. The more professional version of this race only has about 6 entrants in it, so we're the biggest fleet of its kind, really, of ocean racing in the world, and definitely it's a lot to do with endurance. You can see a lot of the boats that did well in the beginning have sort of petered out, whereas the boats that sort of have been consistent the whole way around are now the ones near the top of the leaderboard. But yeah, it's very difficult to keep yourself motivated and keep focused for, some of the races go on for 4 weeks. And in fact, the first race, one of the first races from Brett down to Rio de Janeiro was, I think, 4,500 miles. We went through the doldrums, which slowed things down a lot. And we basically finished, there were two boats finished in first and second position after 4 weeks of racing, and 19 seconds separated them at the finish line in Rio. So,
wow.
Incredibly close racing.
Yes. Are you always conscious, apart from obviously the security features, which are paramount in the race, but are you always kind of conscious of what your position is and where you are in the race?
Yes, very much so. There's an app called Yellowbrick where anybody on land with a smartphone or a laptop can follow us, and they can get the positions are updated hourly on that. Unfortunately, we do get position reports, but they're sent out every 6 hours. So you can imagine the excitement every 6 hours of going to the downloading the email with the positions and then plotting them out on the charts to see how we're doing against the opposition. So. We do get it, and it's hugely important in the overall tactics and strategy of the race to see where we are in relation to the competition.
Now, this is the most exciting part of it for many. As a matter of fact, there are a significant number of crew changes in New York heading transatlantic, and this is something that's on many people's bucket list, and the Clipper offers that turnkey solution in making that dream come true. What is there about this last leg of the 10-month trip is this an easy part of it? Can the Atlantic be is challenging, very challenging? And what about this time of year? Do you expect to have excuse the pun, do you expect to have planes sailing from here to Derry, Londonderry, and the banks of the Foyle.
The North Atlantic's definitely not to be treated lightly. At the moment, the forecast isn't looking too bad, but we'll have an easy start to it at least with relatively light winds at the start this evening. And then it looks like there's a big high pressure system in the middle of the Atlantic, which might slow things down a little. But, I mean, we pass over the place where the Perfect Storm movie, where the plot from that came from, the Flemish Cap.
God.
We then pass, I think, north of the position the Titanic sunk. So we'll be passing through, you know, the area where potentially icebergs are coming down from the north. And then on top of that, we're crossing in relatively high latitudes across an ocean that typically gets storms just rolling across, developing here in the States, and then heading off across the ocean, and then slamming into Europe. You know, it's just a kind of constant cycle. Yeah. So it's guaranteed that it definitely won't be a straightforward or an easy crossing. At some point, we will face anything from fog to ice to big winds and a storm.
Are all 20 yachts, are they all within view of one another? Is it going as natural as we might envision, say, a car race or some other type of race?
The 12 boats, each skipper will have their own tactics, and quite often there seem to be like a few of us that always seem to have similar tactics, and we'll be quite close, at least for the first few days. Likewise, there are another couple of boats that always seem to, you know, try different tactics and go off on a tangent. Like the last few races, as I said, the racing's been getting closer and closer, so there are times where you go for literally days and you still see two or three of the other boats. But generally, a day or two after the start, you're out of view of everybody, and everybody goes off, does their own track or tactics, and you can see this very well on the Yellow Brick app. You see the track.
It's called the Yellow Brick app.
Split out.
And then once
you get near the finish, they all kind of converge in again, and you know, after 2 or 3 weeks of not seeing anybody, all start seeing boats on the horizon. You come into the finish line, and as I said, you know, sometimes the finishes come down to a matter of seconds. So it's interesting.
Wow. And tell me, just a fine day, I just wanted to ask you this. Are you in constant touch with one another, say the crews of the varied yachts? Do you chit-chat along the way, or is that part of...
We're all the skippers are good friends, and we've got access to email, we've got sat phones, and when we're within range, we can use the VHF handheld radio, and so yeah, there's definitely an amount of communication that goes on. Whether you need advice on an issue or something that a part that may have broken, or whether it's just the general banter between the guys, you know. Just having a bit of fun, a bit of crack.
What about the food? Whatever food you're having on this trip here, when you come to the yacht club, for instance, in New York, is that something to look forward to and getting the type of food?
Yeah, definitely. That's usually about 2 or 3 days out from a port. The conversation on deck changes to... you know, what size of steak you're going to get, or the bottle of red wine or whatever. But now we're very conscious of weight on board, because all the boats are the same. There are very, very few ways you can gain an advantage, and one of which is minimizing your weight. And we even went right down to the food that we bring on board. So we bring a lot, instead of having meat, which we can't, we've only very limited sizes of fridges and freezers, so... We bring freeze-dried meat, which is a lot lighter. Instead of bringing drinks on board, we bring powder, sort of Gatorade and Tangs type powder. The menu on board, although it does the job, it's definitely not gourmet.
Yeah, so you wouldn't have kegs of stout or anything like that, as we sometimes see through the movies, where of course there's no race, there's no competition. So it is, you have to be conscious of everything, including obviously the equipment that is necessary for the trip itself, which must also be taken into consideration. That one, of course, would be the same with each, pretty much the same with each of the crew members. We want to thank you, Sean. You're heading off this evening, and you're all lined up. What time are you leaving?
We leave North Cove Marina now, and we'll slip lines at about 11 o'clock or quarter past 11, and then we'll be doing a parade of sail down past the North Cove Marina and the sort of south end of Lower Manhattan. So all the boats will all be in a line of 12 with the flags and the sails up and stuff. And then we'll head out at about half 12.
Fantastic. And again, I think we should acknowledge that in Best Northern Ireland, the Northern Ireland Bureau, Tourism Ireland, indeed, very much accommodating you, the crew, and the big fortune in New York, which will, I'm sure, pale to the welcome that you will get in Derry, Londonderry. And we wish you lots of luck, and in particular, thank you. You have very limited time in New York, so thank you for being with us this morning as you prepare to head across the Atlantic. Sean MacArthur, skipper, indeed. Just tell us the company again and the name of the company.
The company are Clipper Ventures, and you can see the website at www.clipperaroundtheworld.com.
Okay. One more time,
www.clipperaroundtheworld.com.
ClipperRoundTheWorld.com. And actually we're going to have we'll be tracking you and having you live as you get to Derry, and you have a new mayor of Derry who came over to greet you here, and so we wish you lots of luck, and again thank you very, very much for taking this time out. We enjoyed it,
okay.
and we're delighted. Okay? Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you,
Sean. Thank
you very much for having me. All the best.
Thanks, Sean. Okay. They're live friends from the skipper there from the yacht. Again, we were there live from the Cove Marina, is it? The Marina Cove, which is it? All right. Okay, so if you're around, or you know, for those in Staten Island, or for those who are anywhere near downtown New York, you can indeed keep an eye out for the crews who are now preparing the final leg of the race from New York to Derry, and finally then on to London. Grace, a terrific guy, and again, we don't take lightly that he took the time to be with us this morning, live, and we know there must be a lot of things on his mind, and huge, massive crowds down at the North Cove Marina, all waving goodbye and wishing them luck. So again, Sean MacArthur, the skipper of Derry, Londonderry, and Oscailge in Irish, Derry Yacht. You're listening to Irish Radio Network, Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, broadcasting live worldwide.